Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
And welcome to this week's Squiggly Career Podcast. My name is Helen Tupper. I'm one of the co-founders of Amazing If, and I'm here with the other co-founder of Amazing If.
Hi, everybody.
That's Sarah, by the way, in case you don't listen to us every week. And this podcast is our way that we try and help you each and every week to take a little bit more control of your squiggly career. And a squiggly career is one that a lot of people are finding themselves in now. It's one where there's lots more change, either because maybe you're changing your job a little bit more, or actually maybe things are changing around you at work. And what we have learned through all the things that we've done and lots of coaching that we've done with Amazing If is actually there's a set of skills and there's some kind of tips and tools and things that make that squiggle quite a good opportunity that you can learn and develop in, but it can also sometimes feel a bit scary. So we just want to share with you lots of different ways in which we think we can help you to take control of that squiggly career and develop some of the skills to help you be successful in it. And this week, one of those skills that we think is particularly useful is the skill of bravery. And it's something that Sarah and I, we kind of talked about, oh, should we do one on bravery? Because we did a podcast a while back on grit, which feels like kind of the determination to kind of get through things. And that was inspired by some work that Angela Duckworth has done on the subject. But bravery, I think, feels a bit broader and it feels more like courage. And I think grit is part of that, but bravery at work is a bit bigger. Sarah, what's your context on what you think bravery is and why it's important?
I was thinking about this. We've talked before about, I think you operate sort of day in, day out across three different sort of zones. You're either in your comfort zone, your stretch zone, or your scary zone. And when I was thinking about the context of what bravery means to me, I think it's those moments when you're in your scary zone. What's in your scary zone, I guess, is very personal to you. So what's in my scary zone might be actually in somebody else's comfort zone. And I think we kind of go in and out of these things all the time. But it's being brave enough, I guess, to kind of embrace that scary zone and to kind of come out of it the other side. So that's how I've thought about it for today.
And in the context of squiggly careers, I think there's more, there kind of can be more scary because there's lots more change. And I think you're going to be faced with more decisions. Even if you just look at, we're probably going to be doing more jobs in different companies than our parents might have done, for example. That will require you to maybe take some tough decisions about what you want to do. I had an email from someone this morning, actually, I've not told you about it yet, Sarah, and I'll keep it kind of confidential because it was kind of private to them. But they basically said they had trained, they'd spent about sort of 6-7 years post-university training in a certain profession that they didn't want to be in anymore. And actually their family and friends expected them to stay in that profession and it wasn't making them happy and they needed to make a big choice. And I was like, wow, it's quite pertinent that this is what we're talking about today when that person had sent me that message and actually they need to make this kind of big, brave decision. And in terms of the podcast today, what we wanted to do was to share with you some of the brave decisions that Sarah and I have made in our career and then talk about five ways in which you can be more brave, that you can develop bravery as a skill because it is a skill, and then talk maybe about some resources that we can help you kind of be on this podcast today.
And actually, there was another relevant thing that we were chatting about this morning, and we were both chatting about Mother Pucker. So she's somebody kind of on Instagram, does a lot of work about flexible working. I think she's also on Heart now, isn't she? She's got a show on Heart Radio.
That's cool, isn't it?
Yeah, and she does a thing called the Flex Appeal. And she is, I think, a really good role model and example of being brave. She's really clear about what she wants to stand for and then is actually comfortable. And I think this takes quite a lot of bravery that some people are going to disagree with her and disagree quite vehemently. And it must feel quite personal at times. So I think if anything, as well as within squiggly careers, with technology and social media, in some ways, you know, you're almost like more brave because things are more open and more transparent. Mm. And so that that fear of somebody disagreeing with you, it's way easier. And actually, when you're not seeing someone in person, I think people are braver. It's a bit like the car thing. You know, people, when they're in a car, act differently to how they would if you met someone in the street.
Yeah, totally. When you call them on it, they're like, ooh.
Yeah.
I feel like I'm stalking / a disciple at the moment of Brené Brown's work. I feel like I'm listening, reading, tweeting everything that she does.
Haven't you listened to her audiobook this week?
Yeah, I'm basically just consuming everything she's ever done. I'm watching every TED Talk and every YouTube video she's done. But I just find her so inspiring and I can really relate to her words. But what she talks about, she's done a lot of work on vulnerability and courage and bravery, and the thing that she talks about is that courage and bravery cannot exist without vulnerability.
Yeah.
So in order to make that brave move, you also have to be vulnerable at the same time. So in the context of Mother Pucker, she has to put herself out there and know that that's a bit scary,
yeah,
and kind of feel the fear and do it anyway, if that's not too much of a cringe. And I just think that it's good to know that if it's not scary, maybe it's not brave enough. And that's just part and parcel of it. And you kind of just have to move forward through that. So should we start with some of the ways in which we have been brave in our careers? Who's going first? Being vulnerable.
Feeling of being very vulnerable. I don't mind going first. So it's particularly pertinent actually this week, because often I think for me, a couple of examples of when I've been particularly brave is when I've said yes to something, not really knowing all the details, knowing that it sounds exciting, but simultaneously scary. So, you know, it's almost like if I was to imagine the scales, 50% of it sounds brilliant and 50% of it sounds absolutely terrifying. And for me, there's a very relevant example of that coming up. We're recording this on a Thursday, coming up tomorrow, which is Friday, where I was asked to appear on an ITV show that's called The Big Audition. So it's on Friday nights at 9 o'clock on ITV, and the one tomorrow I'm featuring alongside the Mobo founder, Kenya King, and we're like auditioning people to be kind of like backstage presenters, social media content creators. And for me, that's way out of my comfort zone. It's going to be very public. I don't even want to know how many people
watch that
on a Friday night. You know, people who listen regularly will know that I'm kind of naturally introverted. I don't hate presenting, but certainly it's kind of not my natural preference. You know, I kind of quite like being in small groups, quite intimate groups. So the idea of going to spend a day in a studio with hidden cameras everywhere, which is the way that it's kind of filmed, and you have no chance to see the edit. So I won't know until everybody else knows exactly how I came across on that show. And so, and there's a few examples of things like that in my career where they are brilliant and you know they're the right thing to do. You know, when you're like, I know I should say yes to this. So I often say yes quite quickly and then work through the kind of implications, get nervous, get scared, and then go through with it. And, you know, I did something a couple of months ago, which I think we did talk about on the podcast, where at very short notice, I was asked to go on BBC News. And a very similar example, I sort of said yes, because I thought if I think about this too long, I'll definitely say no.
I was thinking that. Is the bravery the saying yes? Because the yes almost feels easy. It's the doing it is when your bravery kind of comes into it.
Yeah, I think I say yes before I can change my mind, essentially. And then it is really brave on the day because you feel like it's, I suppose part of the bravery for me is it's very public, very, very public. So if it's not great, you know, lots of people can comment on you. You know, there's this whole thing of like, oh, what people are saying about me. And you can't control it. So I suppose it's both public and it's outside of your control.
And that's the vulnerability.
Yeah, I think so.
So one of mine, I think, was early on in my career, actually, when I was at a company that I'd kind of held up to be, in my mind, it was like this gold star that I was going to have on my CV and I was really going to, you know, thrive and grow and develop there. And within 9 months, I left. I mean, I left of my own accord, but I was in that situation that I kind of talked about, that person that contacted me this morning, when everybody else was like, why are you leaving? That's an amazing company. What are you doing? You've only been there 9 months. You know, you've got to, you know, that kind of thing you get from your parents, you've got to stick it out.
Yeah.
And I was like, no.
Never leave a job without another one to go to.
You know, all that kind of great stuff. And I just didn't feel like it was right and it wasn't making me happy. But equally, I was leaving a great company after 9 months and there was a lot of, this isn't going to look very good on your CV. And I felt like I had to when I made that decision, it felt like a really big, brave decision for me because I was going against the advice of a lot of people, but in my heart, I knew it was right. And then I promise I won't keep going back to Brené Brown, but she has these principles of bravery and courage. And the first one is that you, bravery is where you are vulnerable. Kind of talked about that one. And the second thing is where you are living with your values. And I think I knew what my I mean, it was quite a while ago. I don't know if I explicitly knew what my values were in terms of I could just articulate and state it really clearly, but I did know what it felt like. I did know that, you know, that the freedom was really important to me and that growth was really important to me. I didn't think I was getting it. So I just knew in my, like, my heart that it wasn't the right thing. And that gave me the, I guess, bravery to make the decision. But I think when you have a career decision or potentially a life decision where you're going against the advice of lots of people, that takes that moment of that deep breath and like kind of just going to do it. And it worked, you know, it was absolutely fine. And I think it was much more magnified. I thought that was going to be such an amazing big decision and I was going to fail or succeed as a result of it. And it wasn't. It was just a step on the squiggly career, which I now know with perspective. But at the time that felt huge and it was quite brave.
Yeah, it's interesting actually on that point about values. I think knowing your values help you to be brave. I think that is those two things are really correlated. I was chatting to somebody yesterday who she's taking on a big new opportunity to go and work in a different country. It's a promotion, a big step up. So lots of kind of potentially big, scary things that she doesn't know how it's going to work out. But the reason she said to me she felt really confident about it is she'd been on one of our value sessions. And so she said she actually got feedback during her interview process that, well, what's really clear is you know why you want to do this and why it's important to you and what you're hoping to get from it. So even though she's still clearly, you know, it's still really scary, it's a really brave move, both in terms of like the challenge and the context. And, you know, she's going to have to move, even like lifestyle wise, you know, she's got to move countries and all that kind of stuff. But you could see that she was going, I am being really brave, but I've kind of got a confidence behind that bravery. And that all comes from the value stuff.
Any other examples?
Yeah, I was thinking about the vulnerability point. So I think often you're brave when you're doing something that is also counter to your usual style. So I'm usually very positive and upbeat, very kind of enthusiastic as a person. And a little while ago, I was asked by a Lean In Circle to do a talk, a bit about my career and kind of what I'd learnt from my career. And one of the things that I kind of thought very hard about was whether I talked about my experience of being on maternity leave. So having that kind of time off, I use off in inverted commas, and kind of how I experienced that. And it felt really uncomfortable to me because that time for me was very difficult. I didn't enjoy being on maternity leave. You know, I remember thinking about like the words I would use to describe being on maternity leave was kind of like, I was anxious. I was probably quite lonely. I was unhappy generally. And they aren't words that I associate with myself or a lot of my career. And I was also very mindful of my experiences are definitely just my experiences. I didn't want to talk about something in a negative way to lots of other people who might have had positive experiences or go on to have a positive experience about the same thing. So it felt very personal. But I was also thinking, if you can't be honest in a Lean In circle, you sort of defeats the objective, like the irony of kind of going, the whole point is that you know, you should be sharing kind of honest stories and examples of kind of your career. And so until the very last minute, I wasn't sure if I was going to talk about it or not. I also found it very hard to talk about. So I found it quite emotional. It probably been the toughest period of my career, if you sort of think of it in that way. And I did it sort of last. So I didn't do that thing of like, you should do it first. So I sort of talked about the other bits first, being my usual kind of squiggly career self, very positive. And then actually, before I shared it, I actually asked the group, you know, how many people are here? There's probably a group of about 30, 40 people. How many people here have actually got kids? And there was probably only about two people there. So I was like, it felt even more nerve-wracking because I was like, there are probably quite a few people here who are right at that stage of thinking about this stuff. And I'm about to tell some stories that are quite tough and don't kind of shed that experience in kind of a positive light. And so I was just very honest. I just said, I'm going to share this because I think it's really important that I'm honest with you about kind of my ups and downs, but I want to be really clear that this isn't everybody's experience. So I said to them, look, I'm going to share it and then I'll get your feedback as to how useful it was. And I did find it really hard. It was a very different way of sharing things. I definitely got more emotional, though it was made less emotional by there was a waiter at that time going round and he almost like dropped a plate right in the middle of me saying, I'd lost my sense of identity. I felt really lonely. I was really missing work. And actually I was getting a bit emotional. And you could see everybody else was kind of going there with me. And then this waiter sort of like dropped this plate. And it actually was quite good because, you know, it sort of like broke the moment.
Yeah, it just gave like a little bit of levity to
it. Yeah, it did. And what was really interesting about that was the bit, obviously, kind of the end of the story, which is relatively inevitable, is that's the bit that stayed with everyone. that's the bit where when people got in touch with me after that evening, people wrote to me partly just to say, like, thank you for being so honest. It's really refreshing to kind of hear that. We appreciate that must have been quite difficult. But also people sort of saying, you know, I loved hearing that. I found it really kind of refreshing to get that transparent vulnerability, as well as all kind of the positive and the upside. So for me, that was really brave because it felt very counterintuitive to the way that I usually live my life and frame things, because it had been quite a counterintuitive like time for me. And actually, when I think about a specific example of being very brave, for me, that was one, because I just felt like I was being so vulnerable to actually a group of strangers.
And I was just thinking about, if you take bravery and vulnerability as something that goes hand in hand, there's that research that says that teams are actually more effective where you have an environment where people can be vulnerable with each other. And I know that was with a group of strangers, which for some people might be less scary, for some people might be more scary actually, because it's your kind of profile with those people. But if you're listening to this and you're part of a team, whether you're a manager or you're just part of a team, actually creating that space where vulnerability and bravery can kind of be part of the team culture will help you to be a more effective team, because people can be more authentic and you can help each other more. I think it's so important. I didn't know that. I obviously knew that you'd gone and done that event, but I didn't know that. And do you think it makes you more brave the more you share that story? Like, do you think, you know, and it'll be another thing that you need to be brave about?
Yeah, I think actually I've become more confident and comfortable talking about it now. And that was the hardest one, if that makes sense. It was almost the tipping point for me, and seeing then people's reaction now means that I'm much more comfortable sharing that, because I feel like I can do it in a way that's useful and very honest. And I think because I got that feedback from people, I think that's where feedback is incredibly helpful, because it encourages you to continue to be vulnerable to the extent where now, you know, I feel comfortable talking about it now on a podcast with lots of people, and I do. But I'm not sure, when we first started doing these weekly podcasts back in February, I don't think I could have talked about it then. I think I needed that. To me, that was that real bravery in the moment, to the extent where genuinely I got off the tube and I wasn't sure if I was going to do it or not.
Yeah.
Which also for me is very, I plan, I prepare things. So to have that uncertainty in my own mind, just to me was kind of a really big leap of faith. Unfortunately, and that kind of environment was incredibly supportive and really kind of encouraging. So
I really like that point around feedback, actually, that people can, if you see bravery, then actually one way that you can reinforce that is by recognising it and saying to someone, wow, that was really brave. I really admire that. Like, so what I was saying about when I saw Mother Pucker last week, we were both speaking at Festival of Marketing.
Yeah.
And I was like, in my mind, I was like, you are brilliant. I love what you do. But I thought, I'm not going to say that, because people probably say that all the time. And so I just said, I really admire how resilient you are, because I do. I see some of the comments that she gets on Instagram and I think, wow, you've got to be brave to not get affected by that stuff. I think if you see bravery, then acknowledge, respect and recognise it for people.
Yeah, and I think recognising what brave is very different for different people. So I remember someone we both know who I would never have known that it was a brave thing for her to get up on a stage and speak. She's a chief executive, very articulate, very confident, really knows her stuff. And I remember asking her to present at a conference that I was running, thinking, oh, like, no sweat, you know, she'll be able to turn up and do this, no problem. Now, she was vulnerable enough to share with me. She was like, I've said yes to you, but just so you know, I find that very difficult. I get quite anxious. She gets quite kind of flustered, quite red. And I was really surprised, but knowing that meant that I could support her loads better. So the fact that she told me beforehand meant that I sort of went a bit above and beyond in terms of like briefing her, giving the opportunity to practice, sat in the front row, like beaming at her all the way through the presentation, made an effort afterwards to say, that was really good. This is why it was really good. Here are some things you might want to do to improve in the future. Because I knew that she had really viewed that as a really brave thing to sort of say yes. So if you can recognise in your teams or at work where if someone has shared, oh, I'm actually finding this quite hard, or there's sort of hints that this is someone being quite brave, try and give them that extra little bit of support, would say.
And I think that's what I was thinking when you were talking then, the difference between like bravery and grit. Because I feel grit is the thing that keeps you going, but bravery is the thing that starts you off.
Yeah, that's a really nice distinction,
Kind of that's where you really want to help somebody to develop the grit in it. So shall we move on to five ways in which people can develop bravery and kind of practice it at work? I think the first one we've actually talked about a little bit on here, so I don't think we need to dwell on it too much, but that's the point around values. Like, be clear on your why. When you understand why you're being brave, so for Sarah, for example, in that situation, you can probably talk to it, but I would imagine it was about actually, my role here is to be authentic and help other people to be successful. And therefore, me being honest about this situation is helping them. And that's one of the things that's important to me, that I help and develop other people. I'd imagine that that's part of your why that gave you the ability to put that out into the room.
Yeah. Well, learning is one of my values and developing others is one of my strengths.
Yeah.
So I think probably the reason I was able to talk about it, my kind of challenging experiences in that Lean In talk, was those two things that I go, it really matters to me to develop other people. Learning is one of my values, and they override the this feels really scary.
Yeah. So know your why. We've done a podcast on values, which you can listen to. But, you know, if you haven't got time for that, just sit down. Like, what is important to you? You know, who do you want to be? What do you value? What's important to you about how you want to work? And use that as a bit of an anchor to just to help you make that brave move. Because, as Sarah said, that will trump how difficult this feels. So that's number one. Number two, Sarah?
So I think thinking about how you are brave within your own right and not worry too much about what other people think, or not looking for other people for approval. I think this is really hard. So we all care what other people think. Most people want to be liked. Mm-hmm. You know, when everyone does that thing of, would you rather be liked or respected? And of course, like, the right answer is respected. But I kind of go, who doesn't also want to be liked?
I thought the right answer was both.
Yeah, I mean, the right answer is both.
Sit on the fence.
But, you know, that even with some of the stuff we do with Amazing If, where we have an exceptionally kind of positive community, I would say, even small moments of where if you think, oh, I wonder what that person thought, I still find it really hard not to be kind of influenced by that or to compare yourself to other people. Mm. I find that actually particularly difficult. And I think social media sort of does a good job of helping you to compare yourself to other people. Mm. And so you have to have confidence in, I think if you've got confidence in your why, then you're more able to go, okay, well, I appreciate people have got different points of view and that's okay, as long as I know what my point of view is. And kind of, and it's back to your example of, you know, you leaving that job, you can understand that people have got different perspectives, but you were clear about, no, I get that this is not the right thing for me. So though it's really hard, I'm still going to make that decision and make that choice.
Yeah, well, one of my kind of brave moments, I had a particularly challenging relationship with a manager a couple of years ago, and I had to have a conversation with that manager about how difficult I was finding that relationship. And in order to do that, I really had to sit down and think, this isn't about what they think about me, or if they think I'm doing a good job or not a good job. This is about what I think about me and how I want to work and how this is affecting me. And my opinion of that is more important than your opinion of me. So, you know, for a while I'd almost pretended it was okay because I kind of valued what they thought about me almost more highly than what I thought. And it just got to this point where I was like, no, this is my career, my job, my team. I have to think about me and hold that important as the most.
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Okay, so the third one is around accepting failure as a learning and not as defeat. So bravery and kind of being vulnerable may mean that sometimes you do fail. Like you're going into some space that you're not comfortable with. You're taking a risk of some sort. And when you step out of that comfort zone that Sarah was talking about earlier and you're going into slightly more of a scary zone, you are more likely to experience some form of failure in whatever that looks like to you, depending on what brave thing you've done. But actually, I know it's really cringeworthy to talk about failures, moving forward and all that kind of stuff, but it is how you grow. I mean, you don't want to do it every day and every week, because I think that'll probably get a little bit...
relentless.
A bit relentless and probably affect your confidence. But it is taking those risks will help you grow. And often I think it's never as bad as you think. So even if you do fail, once you've got a bit of perspective, like in the moment it doesn't feel brilliant, but actually once you've got a bit of perspective, you can take a lot from it. And I sometimes find that you get more support from other people. So when you've kind of done something wrong, when you actually acknowledge it and go, do you know what, that wasn't great for me, more people will then support you. So I remember at Microsoft, I got some really challenging feedback about something that I perceived as a bit of a failure on me. And I let people know that. So I kind of exposed it in a way, the being vulnerable thing. And I said, I've had this feedback. This is how it's made me feel. I completely accept it and acknowledge it. But I think I'm going to need some help. This is what I'm going to do about it. And people were so kind. And I don't mean just nice. I mean, they were supportive, actively supportive in helping me to overcome that. And I think in doing so, I definitely got better. And I also built different types of support from people than just them being nice and we like you, Helen. It was more, we're in this with you now, Helen. We want to help you.
Yeah. And I've had a few spectacular times of where I've kind of been very brave and it's not worked out, particularly maybe going for jobs.
Yeah.
And I remember having a disastrous interview, an internal one as well, which I think is harder. So people who already know you really well and who you're going to work with regardless of the outcome, and getting it pretty wrong in like almost every way. And you, in that moment, you know, especially with something like getting a job, it is quite a black and white scenario. You kind of either win or you lose. And so it doesn't feel great, especially if you're like me and you're competitive and you don't get that job. And I'm like, oh, I've lost.
I think the backstory to that job's on the How to Do a Great Interview podcast.
Yeah, probably.
If anybody wants to
listen to everything I did that day and don't do any of it. But what was so interesting about that was the two people who interviewed me did exactly as Helen's just described. They still admired and I think respected my ability to give it a go, and that there was lots of still good things that they could take from that and that I could take from that. And then they were incredibly supportive of, right, what happens next, where I could go next. And at no point then did I feel embarrassed or like I had to apologise or that I'd taken a few steps back in the organisation because I'd done a really bad job in that interview. And so those things can kind of go one or two ways. And that's where I think our fourth point is about having a strong support system. So this is, to be brave, I do think you need the right people around you. And that's both probably internally within your organisation and externally. And I think probably increasingly in a squiggly career, I think having a few external people who can help you when you're being brave is really valuable, because sometimes you're being brave in your organisation and you sort of need a bit of a pep talk or a one-line WhatsApp, which is often the case that between Helen and I, where I'll go, oh, I'm about to do this thing and it's quite tough. And sometimes all you'll say to me is like, don't worry, it'll be hard, but it won't be as hard as you think.
Yeah.
And you just think, okay, you're probably right, I'll just get on and do it.
I've actually found value as well in my support system with some people that I don't know. So actually following certain people on Instagram that give me a feeling of being brave. I remember when I was making a decision about moving from, you know, a kind of 15-year career in large corporate organisations to leaving that and going to an amazing gift, which is very exciting now.
But obviously the best thing ever.
It is the best thing ever. But there was definitely a period of time where I was like, I'm not sure how this is going to go down with my husband or lots of other people. And I saw this quote from somebody on social media, and it said, speak what you seek until you see what you said.
Say it again.
I know. It's a...
I can get my head around it.
Speak what you seek.
Yeah, okay.
Until you see what you said. So it's kind of a bit more of an alliterative, if that's a word, thing than the Gandhi's be the change you want to see in the world.
Yeah.
Is that kind of thing. But it really stuck with me and I kind of thought, okay, well, what is it I'm seeking? I'm seeking to go do amazing if full time. And I, do you know what? The more I said it to people, the more it became a reality in my mind and their mind, the more it happened and the more it seemed this isn't such a big thing. This is now accepted by other people.
Yeah, and do you know what people now tell me about you? And I'm like, I know that. So honestly, I meet people who'll say, Helen's obviously getting on brilliantly and amazing if full time. And it'll be because they follow us on Instagram and they've watched your stories or whatever. And I'll think, oh, but I know that because obviously we sort of run it together. But I love the fact that now, like you say, that I suppose it's the sort of the stories that you tell yourself, kind of the positive things that you tell yourself, has kind of become a reality, and it's become a reality with other people, so much so that it then loops back to you.
Yeah, absolutely. And I just think, you know, you can get that support from the friend on WhatsApp, you can get it from the great manager, you can get it from your other half, or sometimes you can also supplement that. I wouldn't just do it with these people you don't know, but I think you can supplement it with some people that you might not know that you just follow that have these boosts. And for me, that quote, it just really helped me because I started to see truth in it when I was talking about it. And so our last tip then is about psychological distance, which sounds very theoretical. But the idea is that sometimes it's easier to feel brave or solve a problem when you think about how someone else would approach it. So if you're thinking about a career change, for example, or, presenting or doing something that feels different or scary that requires you to kind of have that bravery, thinking about how you would advise someone else to approach it gives you a bit of distance from the emotion that the fear might be creating. So if Sarah was saying to me about that presentation and she was thinking and oohing and aahing about whether she would share that story, what she might think is, what advice would I give her to Helen, if she was thinking about that? And she might say, well, have, you know, I don't know, two or three things that you really want to say, connect with the why, all that kind of stuff.
Or think of how would you feel if somebody had told you that story if you were in the audience?
Yeah.
So it can kind of be the advice you give other people, or imagine yourself in different, it's just different contexts, I think.
Yeah, not thinking about you all the time with it.
Yeah. And often you do get really you focused, I would say, in the bravery things, because it's really hard for you.
Yeah.
So this TV thing that I've got to do tomorrow, or that will be on TV tomorrow, one of the things that helped me was that part of the auditions is also to kind of give people an opportunity who wouldn't have had it otherwise.
Yeah.
And suddenly you then go, oh, it's really hard to say no to.
Yeah, there's
because
my why.
It's bigger than me.
Yeah.
And I might find this really nerve-wracking, but hey, do you know what? I've had loads of amazing opportunities, so I want to give that to someone else. So connecting with something bigger than just you, I think is actually, it kind of helps to just give you that little nudge along.
Yeah, if in that situation your fear is about your credibility, what people are going to think of you, actually, then that distance to put it in someone else is definitely can give you, like, it's still never going to feel really, really comfortable, but it can be the bridge that enables you to do it. So kind of like a bravery bridge, maybe.
Nice, nice alliteration.
Thanks, I do love a bit of alliteration. What do I like? 2x2 boxes, things in threes, and alliteration.
And quotes.
Yeah.
It's like, it's how you live your life, essentially.
That's what you can expect from the Squiggly Career Book.
Yeah.
At least half of it, anyway. So let's just recap then on those five things that help you to be more brave, and then we'll talk about some resources that you can maybe go to just continue learning a bit more about this. So the five things then, the first one is to be clear on your why. The second thing is to not look to others for validation. Don't give other people's opinions more weight than your own. To accept failure as a learning and not as a defeat. To have a strong support system in place. And also to think about creating some kind of psychological distance between yourself and this thing you're trying to be brave about, not to be too kind of emotional and you about it.
And so we'll put, as ever, the resources online with the podcast. So whether you connect with it on Instagram or LinkedIn, there'll be a couple of things to read, some things to watch. And it is also worth us saying this week, we had a look at our latest reviews on iTunes, and we really are grateful when people take the time to give us a rating and tell us what they think of the podcast. We really do. We love reading them. We love your feedback. We talked a lot today about kind of your why. That is essentially our why.
Yeah.
Feeling like we can make just a tiny bit of a difference in terms of helping you with your squiggly careers really matters to us. And we'd also love to know what else you'd like us to cover. So if there are things you'd like us to hear us talk about, please let us know. You can just follow us on Instagram. We're just at AmazingIf, aren't we, on Instagram?
Yes, we are.
Yeah. And then Amazing_if on Twitter, or you can just email us at getintouch@amazingif.com. We'd love to hear from you. So please do that. And you can find all of our back episodes as well. I think we're on about 54.
I think this might be 53.
Maybe. 53.
Around that.
Ahead of the game. So yeah, please go back and look at other ones and share them with other people. And next week, Helen, what are we going to be talking about?
Next week, we're going to be talking about communicating and how to be a great communicator, but in lots of different contexts. And I know that you probably had articles or presentations on this before, but we're going to make it super, super specific. I think that's one of the things that we get feedback that people like. So we're going to think about body language, written communication, emails, presentations, every way that we can practically think about ways that you might be communicating at work. We're going to think about how you can show up as your best self and your authentic self as well, not just kind of model what other people are doing, but how you can do it in a way that feels right to you. So that's going to be next week's topic.
So that's it for this week. As always, thank you so much for listening, and we'll speak to you again soon. Thanks very much, everyone. Bye.
Bye.
Hey, y'all. Darius Rucker here. You know, a lot of people ask me, what inspires your music? And one of the big things is a strong sense of place. That's why I love my home state of South Carolina and want to share the awesome things it has to offer. From the beautiful mountains down to the sunny coast, it's got it all. Not to mention two of my personal favorites, great golf and amazing food. Come see why I love this place. Visit discoversouthcarolina.com.